Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone. Scott Suhr is with us. Scott is a transportation planner with the Iowa Department of Transportation office here in Atlantic. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
A little rain slowing you down out there on 7th Street, huh?
Oh, I just can't seem to catch a break with with all the rain this summer, but we're working on trying to get as much done as we can between raindrops. The contractor's working on grading the eastbound lanes and also working on some of the sidewalk and driveways, and we're hoping, weather permitting, that we can get the eastbound lanes poured next week and then hopefully make open up Plum Street near Orchlands and then flip over and start working on the east side.
You know, at this point, I think everybody who's the travelers who are now probably somewhat used to the adjustments that they had to make early on are probably less frustrated now than the workers and the planners themselves, because they're the ones that really have to deal with all the weather delays.
Yeah, it's been a wet year, and obviously, you know, this project is not alone. We've got other projects around the state and southwest Iowa that have been impacted by the rain, and also, you know, the counties and various city projects have also been impacted, and the most important thing to keep in mind is just try to, you know, get it done as quickly as you can, as safely as you can, and try to minimize the impacts, and that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, have we pushed back the estimates a little now with the rain that we had earlier this week?
I would say yes. Exactly how much, not sure. I would say, due to rain this year, we probably have lost somewhere in the neighborhood of at least a couple weeks, maybe 3-4 weeks. You know, it seems like we get one decent day, and then we'll get a rain day, and then we'll get a couple decent days, and then a couple rain days. So it's kind of gone that way all summer. But, you know, like I said, the contractors are out there working, trying to get it, you know, buttoned up and trying to get it completed as soon as possible.
It's hard to make up for that lost time. It's not like you can work that much faster. It still takes concrete a certain amount of time to cure.
Right. And we're using actually the maturity method of curing the concrete, which is a little bit different than what we used to do. We used to make and break beams at 7 and 14 days to determine strength. Now we can run a series of beam tests prior to the project and then use the maturity method to actually put some wires in the slab of concrete and then, you know, measure it for the temperature. And once it reaches a certain temperature, it'll be at strength. So that does speed up the process quite a bit using the maturity method. But it does take time, you know, to make sure that, you know, everything's ready to be open before we start opening it.
Exactly. And I guess that's one thing I wanted to emphasize, too, because we talked about this a few weeks ago. When the time does come and we get a little bit closer and closer to finishing, it may look like some streets could possibly maybe be opened, but you're not really interested in piecemealing the openings.
Right. And we don't want to open up a section, you know, and then leave a section closed because, you know, it just, you risk a chance of somebody getting hurt or having a crash or something because it's not ready to be open. So rather than open up little pieces, we're going to try to get it all done at once and then open it all at once.
Well, I noticed one of the adjustments made not too long ago was the flashing red lights at some of those intersections instead of just using the lights based on the normal traffic patterns. I know that was a little frustrating for folks. It seemed like they sometimes were sitting there for a long time watching no one go by yet staring at a red light. So I think it really kind of works out better now. Traffic moves quicker.
Yeah, we've been working with the city who has ownership of the signals. We've been working with them on ways that we can try to move traffic through as efficiently as we can without having them have to sit at a red light or, you know, get frustrated by sitting at a red light, knowing that no one's coming and then running through the red light, which is not a safe situation either. So the city determined that it might be best just to put the signals on flashing reds, and that's what we've got going now. And it seems to be working pretty well both at the Hy-Vee entrance and also Hospital Drive and also at 7th Street and Olive. It seems to be working pretty well.
Just, of course, as a reminder to folks, too, when you see the flashing reds, it doesn't mean slow down and look around, see if you can sneak through. It means stop. It's like a stop sign.
Right. It's like a four-way stop.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good. Well, now, talking about the traffic patterns and things, we've got a very important event coming up on Monday. School will be starting here in the Atlantic Community School District and some others around the area. And, you know, when you have road closings, that always makes things just a little bit more difficult, too, to deal with. Now, have you been in contact with the school? Have they been working with you for their planning purposes?
We have. We have touched base with the school. We've also contacted the local media, KJN included. We've also have contacted the chamber, and we've also contacted the city, And we've also made it aware to our contractor and our inspection staff out there that school will be starting on Monday the 24th, and that the hours that school will be taking place the first 3 days, and then, of course, there'll be full days Thursday and Friday, that we want to make sure that everybody's aware that, you know, there will be times where children will need to get to the school from the north side of 7th Street to the south side of 7th Street. And so we're trying to make our contractors aware that, you know, during these hours you may see children just be on the lookout, be alert. We're also telling the parents and the children that are using those areas to cross over to get to school to make sure you look both ways and to make sure that, you know, hopefully there's an adult there or a crossing guard or someone that can help assist get those kids across the 7th Street. Because even though the road's closed, there will still be some construction traffic in the area. So we just want to make sure that everybody's aware of what's going on and, you know, that there will be kids in the area to be fully aware of that so that we can get the kids to school and to home safely.
You know, it's interesting talking about that as an issue because I think most folks, when they realize that this project was going to continue into the early part of the school year, were thinking primarily that, well, the bus routes are going to be a little inconvenienced perhaps, or maybe I'll have to take a different route getting to the schools, driving the kids to the car. I don't think we thought much about kids on foot.
Right, and, you know, that's the thing. You know, there's going to be extra traffic on 10th Street than normally is because a lot of that traffic that would normally be traveling 7th Street is traveling 10th. And now you mix in, you know, pedestrian traffic as well. Everybody needs to be on the lookout. And I know, you know, it's going to be the first few days, it's going to be a little different because, you know, kids are getting back to school, parents are getting back into a routine. But we just want to make sure that we keep everybody as safe as possible because we certainly don't want to see, you know, a bad start to a school year or whatever. So that's why we're trying to get the word out to the contractors, to the public, to the pedestrians, to our inspection staff, anybody that's traveling in the area, to be aware, be on the lookout for, you know, children crossing the streets.
Yeah, in a small community like this, I think we all know by now what a dramatic change it is in the traffic patterns once the school year starts.
Yeah, and it gets pretty heavy, you know, especially at drop-off and pickup times.
Yes, it does. And I wonder how much of a difference that will make. Now, I know there's not much you can do. You can't open 7th Street a little bit here and there to help folks out in case of congestion, but will you, from the DOT standpoint, be watching some of those traffic patterns, see if they change dramatically once school starts and if there are some problem areas, or is that something the school needs to monitor?
Well, I think it's something not only the school but the city of Atlantic and the DOT as well all need to monitor just to see if there's ways we can improve areas, because I know Police Chief Green is going to have officers at certain locations to help move traffic safely through intersections, at least during peak times. And we've also in the past have worked with the Atlantic Police Department and made suggestions on ways that we can improve, you know, some of the drop-off locations, say, like at Washington Elementary, where in the past, you know, when the high school was still operating at its former location, you know, there was a lot of parking space that was used up by students in high school's cars. Well, now, with it being a junior high, there may be an opportunity there to use that parking area as a drop-off point for not only the buses but also for the students at Washington Elementary, and that may be a way that we can get the traffic off of 10th Street and Lynn and try to, you know, keep it within the school grounds, which may alleviate some of the congestion. And it's something we maybe would like to explore with the school further and possibly, you know, look at obtaining some safe routes to school funds to accommodate that type of project. So that's very early on, and it's just kind of early in the discussion points, but it's something that's been thrown out there that we can look into further that may improve not only the situation for now, but in the future, once even after 7th Street's open.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, great. It's nice to see that people are looking forward to thinking about things that could be done to make those changes, because I know it's been a source of frustration. It is everywhere, let's face it. In most school districts, they have congestive areas like that that are tough, but we just have to deal with them and try to figure out ways to remedy that. Well, it's good to see the folks are paying attention to all this. I know when school starts, everybody pays more attention, or they should be anyway, to what's going on out on the roads, because sometimes, you know, especially young children, they're excited. grid, they might not be paying so much attention to us, so we have to pay more attention to them. And when you mix in road construction and changes in traffic patterns, it makes it all the more important for folks to just beware.
Yep, and that's, we can't stress that enough. Just be on the lookout, both motorists and pedestrians. Look out for each other. Try to have some patience in the morning and in the evening when you're dropping students off and picking them up and kids are crossing streets. Have some patience, try to get there safely, and hopefully, we'll get through this and get this roadway opened up soon enough.
Outstanding. Scott, thanks so much for your time. I know there's a lot to be done, and I appreciate you keeping us updated.